topic?
Speaker mode.
This massive topic of... wait. Did I put the wrong one up? Oh, this one's on. Is that better?
Yes, maybe just take it off for 1 second. Because it's tangled. So it's, anytime Ruby pulls on it.
What I do?
It's just, it's,
sorry.
Okay, just turn it off for 1 second.
Turn it off?
Yeah.
What's the issue?
You see how it's the wire just used to be
If the wire gets...
then it's going to pull.
Affects the feedback?
No, it's just going to... If Ruby moves its head, it's going to...
Okay. So either way, let's begin. So we were discussing the window into various individual mitzvos, and I want to just finish that up again, not exhaustively at all, because it is a very massive topic, but at least a couple of things that people asked me about and that we were in the middle of discussing, just very briefly to try to finish that up. Is it working now?
I didn't turn it on.
Speaker mode.
Okay. Everybody can hear on Zoom? Yeah? Okay, great. Sorry for the delay. And then we want to start the next circuit. Yeah?
I think we can plug in the computer now.
Oh.
Yitzi found the extension.
Oh, okay. Here we go. So you take that part. Okay, sorry. We're almost ready. Yeah. So just let's talk about a couple of individual mitzvahs, so it's just a little bit more than we... from where we left off. We were trying to go through the Ramban and to make comments, especially to contrast the treatment of the Ramban and the Rush, and then just, supplement it with a few of the other issues as well. So let's talk about that just for a couple of more minutes before we start this next topic, which is a massive topic, which we're not going to be able to complete, but at least we can weigh in on some of the issues. So just very briefly, just to point out that some of the things we said about Sfiras HaOmer, that other Rishonim, of course, again, we're only talking about mostly about the Rishonim Al Atar, but as I mentioned, there are, essays of the Rishonim, and of course, the input of the postscape on some of these issues, too. To do a much more comprehensive job is very rewarding. I mean, it rewards our efforts, is what I mean. And but even just in terms of the local, on the issue of Sfiras HaOmer, where the Ramban, suggests that the fact that we count from the Omer is consequential to saying Al Sfiras HaOmer, it's interesting that the Rush and others say give other answers. One of the answers they give is that the Minhag, HaOlam, is that some people who are not capable are Yotze with the Shliach Tzibur. Therefore, it looks like shlichus, even though it kind of isn't. So, of course, in addition to providing an alternative, especially on the issue of counting from and counting to, which is a massive argument, and even the Ramban himself, as I think I mentioned, really has kind of a more complex, perspective on this, because he calls it in his Perush Al HaTorah kind of chalamoed. Although, again, if the Avnei Nezer is correct, he also thinks that Sfiras HaOmer is not a mitzaseh, Shazman Grama. But it's interesting to note that, there are alternatives, quite a few alternatives, actually, to answering these questions without concluding that we are counting from. But what's also interesting about it is that there's a massive debate in the poskim about the status of Shomea Kaona and Sfiras HaOmer in general. Rabbi Kiveger and others, this is a massive argument, dispute, because Sfira requires, Usfartam Lachem, Kol Echad V'Echad. And the question is, does Shomea Kaona being Yotze, or, Al Yedei Shliach Tzibur or somebody else, does that compromise the principle of, kol echad v'echad? So that is an interesting issue that, has its roots in, perhaps, in the Rishonim here, on the Nusach HaBracha question as well. I won't say more about it than that for the moment, but should be aware of it. Also, regarding Talmud Torah, we already talked about the fact that, Talmud Torah may not be a Birchas HaMitzvah at all, and certainly that's the language of the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos, where he counts Birchas HaMitzvah separately, where he formulates and makes perfectly clear that it is not a mitzvah that we're making the bracha on. It's the Divrei Shevach V'Hodah on the guidance and the opportunities provided by Torah. This beautiful language of the Ramban, it's not for now, but in Sefer Mitzvahs. And in general, of course, this has a huge impact, as we've noted, on many things, not only the genre question and the question of, you know, perhaps multiple brachos, but also, you know, other questions as well, like does Hirhur, you know, or Ksiva, you know, require, you know, a Birchas HaTorah, right? If it's about the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah, then that can take place in all sorts of different ways. Certainly Hirhur, V'Gisa Bayom V'Laila, the Pasuk in Yoshua is actually one of the Pesukim that is quoted, you know, in this context. So the idea that, you know, Hirhur would be deficient and that you need actually to articulate, and then what constitutes articulation or concreteness? Is it only Dibur, or is it even Ksiva? What about, you know, Ksiva Kedibur, etc.? What about Ksiva Kedibur and Sfiras Omer? But that's not for now either. So, again, if you think that the bracha is a bracha on Cheftza Shel Torah, the idea that that might require some more objectified form is, you know, is possible. And this, again, is a whole discussion in the post-skim, the whole question of, you know, hefsek or no hefsek, you know, a lot of Rishonim say that there's no hefsek problem because it's a chiyuv tmidi, that's the view of Rabbeinu Tam. Others, because it just says no hefsek, because aside from Sheinas Keva, you know, the way the Rush formulates it, both in the Rush and in the Tshuvas HaRush, is this idea that, you know, a person is constantly attached to, you know, the Torah that he is studying subliminally, you know, if not, you know, more directly. But again, these are all based on the assumption that, you know, it is a Birchas HaMitzvah, and the only question is, like, why does it seem to defy the norms that, you know, typically apply in terms of hefsek and continuity and so on. But obviously, the more you think that Birchas HaTorah is not, you know, this whole question doesn't even kind of get off the ground. You still may require Shinun al Atar. That's also a big issue. Right? The Yerushalmi says that if you, you know, make a, if you make Birchas HaTorah through, you know, Birchas Kriya Shema, that you require Shinun al Atar. That's the Yerushalmi, and Tosis, of course, quotes it, and then the Chachmei Sfarad discuss it on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, you know, in Brachos. And that's, of course, the Kepeda that, you know, in the morning, when you say Birchas HaTorah, some people, you know, we are knowing, Klal Yisrael is knowing, you know, to say Psukim, you know, from either the Birchas Kohanim or some Psukim of Torah Shebuksav, you know, to learn a Mishnah, to say something from, you know, Talmud, again, directly connected also to the issue of, you know, the different genres. That's all based on this same idea of, you know, not being mafsik if it's a Birchas HaTorah, that, you know, you should immediately, you know, if you're making a bracha, then you have to do the mitzvah, just like we're talking about, you know, being mafsik before the bedikah, you know, or being mafsik before the tekiah, you know, so too, you shouldn't be mafsik before the limud. So again, that mostly, in most formulations, that is connected very much to the perspective that we're dealing with a Birchas HaMitzvah. However, it's possible that even if, you know, Birchas HaTorah is a Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, and especially, you know, the way Reb Chaim formulates it, a bracha on Cheftza Shel Torah, that you might need something immediate just kind of to establish that. Like, you're making a bracha on this phenomenon, but where's the phenomenon? You know, so and if, especially if you're Michalik, you know, if you say that you need Shinun al Atar, again, the Yerushalmi's language, when it comes to Birchas Kriya Shema, you know, but let's say less so when you you know, make use of the objective bracha, like if say all divrei Torah lasuk b'divrei Torah, then you don't need to. It's when you're using, you know, birchas kriya shema that then you need to. So then that chiluk makes no sense if the requirement of an immediate application has to do with hefsek. Then it's the same thing, no matter what. But if it's to establish either cheftza shel Torah, or more particularly to define what you're doing as birchas haTorah, it has to be followed by some sort of cheftza shel Torah. So then the idea that would be truer for birchas, you know, it's birchas kriya shma is doubling as birchas haTorah. But that's itself an interesting question. You know, is that a coincidence that, you know, birchas kriya shma can double as birchas haTorah? Or is it another way of saying that it's a dimension that's already built into kriya shma always, just that, you know, it's unnecessary for that aspect of it? Is it a coincidence, something I have mentioned in the past, is it a coincidence that, you know, when we talk about minimum, you know, limud haTorah for the day, you know, that we speak about iboy pater nafshe b'kriya shma, you know, shachris v'arvis. Of course, it's a melitza, and of course it has a practical, you know, extension, you know, to the extent that you have to say kriya shma anyway, you know, every day, morning and evening, and it comes from, you know, cheftza shel Torah, so, you know, that's what it is. But I wonder that whether or not there isn't a two-way relationship between kriya shma and Talmud Torah, you know, both Kabbalah Samach Shemayim, in other words, and Limud HaTorah, each being manifest in the other. It's enough to say there's a one-way relationship, but I think there probably is a two-way relationship, and whether that doesn't make it such an attractive example and melitza ibay pater nafshe b'kriya shma. That's the language, of course, of the Gemara. I'm talking about in Nedarim Dav Ches, when the Gemara talks about nishba l'kayim b'sa mitzvah, as well as the Gemara in Menachos, when the Gemara talks about, you know, minimal or maximal obligations, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So I think these are really important issues. So it could just very well be that the Shinun al Atar isn't a din in hefsek for the mitzvah of Birchas of Limud HaTorah that the bracha relates to, but it's to establish either that Birchas Kriya Shma is serving this function, or in this particular case at least, that it's serving this function, you know, befoal. And therefore you might need it. And similarly, the whole discussion about Nashim, of course, B'Birchas HaTorah, that's one of the rayas that Reb Chaim brings. You know, if Nashim are not obligated in the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah, they're still obligated in Birchas HaTorah. That's a discussion. Sounds like in the Gemara Megillah that, you know, Nashim make Birchas HaTorah. The question is, you know, whether the circumstances there are typical or not. The Gemara seems to say that before they determined that this was a problem or the kind of issue which was subject to the issue of Kavanat Tzibur, you know, that women would receive some sort of aliyos. The question is, does that mean they were making Birchas HaTorah in the context of Kriyas HaTorah or not? That seems to be a machlokas or Rishonim. Some Rishonim say, no, it's the olden days when they used to make a bracha lefaneha. Then they did, you know, the whole Kriyas HaTorah, different aliyos. They gave different aliyos, but it was all based on the first bracha rishona. And then they concluded with the bracha achrona. So some rishona were the opinion, to different days in Tosis and Chachmei Provence, that, you know, when the idea that women used to be part of the kruim until they determined that it was a din that is subject to Kavanat Tzibur, you know, that they didn't make Birchas HaTorah at all. They just, you know, got that part of the aliyah. That's a man would make a Birchas HaTorah beginning, a man would make a Birchas HaTorah in the end, and then in the middle you could also have women as part of the process. But, you know, in other words, two changes took place. Number one, they split up as an independent bracha lefaneha, bracha l'achreya, every aliyah. And in addition, they determined that it wasn't just, you know, din of limud, barabim, but it was more like a formal din, and therefore it was subject to the din of Kavanat Tzibur. But this is a big machlokas harishonim as well. But one of Reb Chaim's rayas was, oh, women don't have the obligation of limud haTorah. So obviously, the assuming that the implication of the Gemara in Megillah is that they did say Birchas haTorah, so that leads you to the conclusion that Birchas haTorah is a bracha on Katzah Shel Torah. But I say you could argue that point, and you could argue it from several points of view. Like some of the Rishonim, and this is also a topic in its own right, suggested that even though women are pturos may Talmud Torah, they're obligated the Talmud Torah of the mitzvos which affect them, and that's the pshat in their Birkas HaTorah. Others, again, Bali Tosis suggests that this is part of the issue of whether women can make a bracha on Mitzvah Sase Shezman Grama. Something we talked about also in this context, in other words, where there's a kiyum, but not a chiyuv, do you make brachos or not? So just like that is an argument about Netilas Lulav and Tkiyas Shofar, so too it could be an argument about Birchas HaTorah. In other words, even if it is Birchas HaMitzvah, there's a kiyum, even if there's no chiyuv. So these are different deos in Kentosis in Rosh Hashanah and in Erevin. When they talk about the issue of a mitzvah seishasman grama and brachos for women, bring in this whole issue of birchas haTorah as well. So there are numerous issues that are connected to and more than what I just said to this question of how you look at birchas haTorah and whether it's primarily birchas haMitzvah or birchas shevach vahodah, or bracha on chapsa shel Torah, etc. And the nusach ha-bracha question obviously is very relevant to that as well. And the Ritva here, discusses it, in that way too. The Ritva here says, why is it that you think this, two nuschos, some of them had the nusach al divrei Torah, which is an al, obviously, formulation. And others, a lasok b'divrei Torah, with it, which is a lamed formulation. So the Ritva here quotes both. But he says, if you have al, so that would seem to be problematic, according to the, efshal yidei shliach and those other considerations. So the in order to solve that problem, the Ritva zeroes in on another issue, and that is the problem whether limud haTorah is a mitzvah tmidi or not. So that's what he mentions here. Ba'od kasha birchas haTorah shu berova nuschos masechet brachos al divrei Torah v'yesh lomar lefisha divrei Torah, let's read it properly, ein lahem keva, right, u'mitzvah lahagos bahen tamid aso ki'ilu ein lo hatchala ela shehi gemar. Typically, we think this is the Nuske Ashkenaz, and that is Lasok B'Divrei Torah. Then, of course, you don't have the whole issue and the whole problem. So, again, just an example how, and a further example how, these debates are being pushed to find consistency. In the actual Nusach HaBracha, really, is a catalyst towards re-examining, the character of each of these institutions. And, the ripple, you can see how Chiddush comes about and how, the ripples of each view, ends up affecting, what you're going to say about Al and Lamed is going to end up affecting how you look at Talmud Torah and its bracha, which in turn is going to end up, affecting, who is obligated, what circumstances, is there an obligation, the issues of Hefsek, and so on and so on and so on and so forth. Yeah, Josh.
Is the Ritva saying that this, because there's a chiyuv to midos, it's similar to like lulav?
I think so.
Or is he saying that even for those who think not shlifos, whether you're doing a mitzvah or not, they're
going to
still borrow a page from the other model, which is about whether it's
mitzvah
or not.
Say that one more time.
Or are they, the problem is the Rambam. The Rambam says Al-Divrei Torah, so is the Ritva saying, oh, you through the Rambam, even though the Rambam is more concerned in general about switching the Nusach based on who's doing the mitzvah, he's going to like borrow a page from the Ritva, so to speak, and say that maybe sometimes it depends on a field to
me. I mean, is it more like a hybrid between the two things, or is it... I think it's more of this comparison because he talks about it being Gemar. You know, the focus is on the Gemar HaMitzvah here because there is no, you know, Tchila. And then, by the way, the Ritva here is, you know, the Ritva in Megillah and the Ritva in Gittin. You know, it's also very into, like, why is there no... this is a discussion of the Tshuva Saraj, but also, like, why is there no Bracha Achrona? Typically, like in Limud HaTorah for Birkas HaTorah. Right? We have in Kriyas HaTorah, obviously. So why not have... Now again, Yerushalmi thought in general that there were brachos at the end of mitzvos. That's a very big difference between, you know, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. The Gemara says in Menachos, so we don't pass in that way. But like, why not, since here you have the example of Kriyas HaTorah, why not have that? So there are different answers that are given. The Ritva's preferred answer in Megillah and Gittin and so on is because the Chiyuv is a Chiyuv Tmini. And therefore there is no end. Therefore you can't have a Bracha at the end. I mean, Kriyas HaTorah is finite, but Limud HaTorah is not finite. So I think that he's saying something like that here also, that the emphasis is always on the Gemar, or the fact that there is no Gemar, you know. So I think that's mostly, but your question is in place, for sure. Okay. So that's, you know, again, a further example in connection to Talmud. I just want to talk about Lulav a little bit because it comes up so much. So let's talk about Lulav just a little bit more as well. Yeah. So again, in our Gemara itself, you know, the issue of Lulav is portrayed, you know, in a very... clear, you know, but surprising way. Surprising, let's say, for those of us, you know, who are familiar with, you know, the whole discussion about what the proper way, you know, to do a bracha on lulav. If you could just say, Moshe, if you don't mind just a second, just to go back to the language of the Gemara. And the question is whether that changes the maskan. I just wanted to make it clear how much rooted this is in this particular, this is the Shakla Vitaria of the Gemara here.
Yeah, so Mitzvah, also Lula of the Hatzlam, the Varish Achion of the Yonah, the Yonah of Namza, not Lord Lotzes, but Omer Asher to the Shaman of the Tzvano, on the Tilas Lula.
Yeah.
So, Shani Hasa, the Inna, the Agba, Nafik Bay.
Yeah. So this, of course, is the famous Lashon, the famous challenge, like, you know, how would you do over Lasi Asan? It's not clear in the Gemara what exactly this means and what the scope of it is. At this point in the Gemara, it sounds like Shani Hasan Debin Da Agbe, you know, Nafak Bay. And meaning it's a, you know, if you just had this, and especially the next line, go ahead if you don't mind, Moshe. Yeah, so that seems to confirm it even more, because the Gemara says, you know, so why are you using a future language? You know, there's, if the Gemara meant, well, you know, it's a compromised over, but it's still an over. So how, you know, difficult a question is the next line? But the Gemara answers it, right? So in a surprising way too. Mm-hmm. Right, go ahead.
So in Achanami, we should go by them in the Sefer, Leisha Basaka, Tanarisha Nami, Lot Sefer, Tani Sefer, Usa Sukulafo, Omer Bracha, Tashem Shechion, Vikiman, Vigilon, Zmanaza, Nechnas Leisha, Omer Bracha, Shechion, Saman, Leisha Basaka.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you walk away from this Gemara, you didn't know anything, the impression you would get would be that, you know, b'da'agbe nafakbe, and that really it's yotza, and this is an example of a bracha that you're making la'achar, not over la'siyasan, and, you know, if in the end of, you know, let's leave it at that. Okay. You could still wonder whether or not it's because, you know, we don't have sufficient ingenuity, like to figure out a way around all of this, or there isn't some, you know, lechatchila, you know, behind it. Again, when it comes to tefillah, it's pretty clear in the Gemara that, you know, you don't have a way out. Akati gavri lo chazi. Right? But when it comes to lulav, what they really couldn't mean, it's a strange phenomenon, that's what I'm trying to say. Meaning the Gemara, the Rishonim could figure out, you know, different ways to solve this problem, but the Gemara could not. Assuming, and this is a bigger problem, if you think that, you know, if you take the Gemara Kipshuto, which, you know, we always should, l'chatchila, right? So, then this idea that, what, you know, they couldn't come up with, you know, kavana lo latzeis, or holding it upside down, or any of these other, or, you know, making the bracha right before you pick up anything, or picking up, you know, three of the minim but not the fourth, or one of the minim but not the other three. Like, only the Rishonim could think about those, you know, solutions, but not the Gemara. There's no way out of, you know, Tfilas Balkari, at that time of the, you know, Takana. There's no way out of, you know, Ger. You know, but there's no way out of, we know there are ways out. Okay. So, you wonder a little bit. Okay, I'm speculating. All I'm pointing out is that if you read the Gemara Kipshuto in the beginning, the impression that you get really is that this is a bracha la'achar. A. And that B, probably, you know, the Gemara was not lacking the ingenuity of the Rishonim, not because the ingenuity of the Rishonim isn't impressive, but because, you know, the Chachmei HaMesorah of the time of the Talmud were impressive too. So it sounds like, you know, Mida'ag Be'Nafak Be is kind of intentional. And that's very interesting. And also, with that, although this is not a full proof, it's curious to note that in the end of the Gemara says, Elam Rav Chisda, Chutz Min HaTfil, I'm sorry, the Gemara says that there are two exceptions, originally. One is what Bei Rav Amri Chutz Min HaTfila Vishofar. It's curious that they do not mention Lulav. Okay, now that could be for a different reason, and that is that maybe when the Gemara concludes Vehokosal Bir Chametz, everything changes. That's also an open question, right? So if that's true, in other words, once the Gemara says, well, it's not so complicated, you can have owls that are also acceptable futures, right? All right, we know from Tosas that even before the Gemara turned around, that the Gemara knew that, you know, that occasionally. But, yeah, okay. Certainly the Gemara goes further with that in the Maskana. So maybe the reason it's not on the list is because the whole analysis is no longer true. And then you wonder, you know, whether there's any aspect of it which is true. Of course, you still have to deal with the practical problem. Yeah. So what I'm really trying to say, I guess, is that there are two phases in the Gemara, number one. One is this Havamina, and the second is what happens Lamaskana. Now, Bali Tosis, interestingly, can't abide even in the Havamina, or even that there is a Havamina, right, that this would not be over Lasiyasa completely, right? And that's Tosis, the Ramaskal, Be'idna Da'agba Nafak Bey, which is another way of saying in the Gemara at that point, sounding like this is not a bracha la'achar, not lefanav, right? So Tosis says, V'imtomar, kivin enafak, hei chivarech. What do you mean? That's the whole point of what we've been saying in the Gemara, right? We're saying this is an exception. Maybe it's an intentional exception, right? It sounds like, you know, this idea that there would be a bracha, you know, la'achar, this doesn't make any sense. Halotzorch levarach over lasiyoso. B'omari avagav denafak akati osik mitzvah shetzorch l'nanei abikriya sahala. We'll get back to that in a second. Then, when the Gemara is weighing, right, you know, Lotze, Saryatza, so you have the other Tosas, like you always wonder, like, why are these Tosas and saying different things? This Tosas is zeroing in on a very later Over, Nanua, and the next Tosas is giving you some of the solutions, which Tosas elaborates, you know, in the Lulav HaGazel, right? Go ahead, Moshe, if you don't mind, Lotze Smashma. Meaning, sounds like what the Gemara is asking here, this is a regular over lasiyasan, right? So, but how does it work? I mean, what do you do with the problem? The answer is, again, here's the ingenuity. Yeah, so it's very interesting to figure out, you know, which ones. So first of all, just to make clear, they, you know, even within Tosas themselves, right, there's a subtle yet important difference. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, when they say be'idna de'ag be'nafak be', they can't abide abandoning over lasiyasan for lulav completely. So they have tzorach l'nanea b'kriya sahala. Okay? But then, in the next tosis, when the Gemara is weighing, like, well, you know, but it does say latzeis, which sounds more even future-oriented, then the first tosis is saying, as past-oriented as it seems, there's still a little future and over lasiyasan. But the line in the Gemara is saying, but it sounds like much more than that. So Tosa is saying, and what would a much more than that be? Right? Because apparently, so Tosa says, Roy Lahovko, Lo Latzeis, and then Tosa's conclusion is, by the way, you don't have to Lahovko it, which is interesting, right? You know, because the Nanuim of Hala, which previously were described as, you know, something that would work with Be'idna Da'ag Benafak, right, as a more past oriented, yet little bit of, you know, saving grace, or in a rotsa, which he prefers more than hofkel. Okay. Then, of course, the whole discussion of Tosas in Sukkah, you know, mitchil v'ad sof, is they're not worried about the shock of atari of this Gemara so much. So it's more, you know, the straight problem, you know, what should you best, you know, do. So there are a couple points I'm trying to make. One is, I think one could have a hard read of the Gemara here and say that before the Maskana, what the Gemara was saying was, literally, this is, you know, la'achar. And as for Tosas' question, yeah, that's the whole point. Right? What do you mean, kivin de'nafak ke'chivarech? That's the special, maybe the fact that mida'ag be nafak be, you know, also signals that that's the right way to do it in Dalad Mina. Now, why might that be? It's hard to know. Maybe it has something to do with the halal aspect of, again, even in Amira's halal, you make a bracha lefanav, but maybe it's, you know, it's a halal al yaday maisav. There's a lot of evidence that netilas lulav is a kind of a halal. Maybe netilas lulav, and, you know, therefore even its bracha is la'achar. You know, only netilas lulav, you know, and korban in the Bavli, you know, our mitzvah b'avera, you know, dvarim shel ritzui, according to the way some rishonim explain it, you know, the famous view of the Ravid. The Ravid says that lulav yavesh, or the minim are yaveshim based on Yerushalmi, lo amesim yahaluka. There's just a lot of evidence, you know, that that halel is a theme of the of Adal Minim. You know, I think I mentioned in the past that, you know, the Rab Chaim was makbid not to be mafsik, you know, between the bracha on Netilas Lulav and the end of Hallel. Of course, the Nanuim in Hallel. The Ramban here speaks about Kriyas Hallel, not even the Nanuim of Hallel, you know, being something that extends the over of lulav. So, right, so, I don't know, maybe that would be a reason, maybe overlapping with that, the fact that you have Dalid Minim and you take them together is part of the story. Whatever it is, one certainly could have said when the Gemara is asking, so use, you know, the proper use should be Yatza and saying in Achanami, and saying that Ag Be'nafak, the Gemara is kind of saying this is a different kind of a mitzvah, and this different kind of a mitzvah requires a bracha, you know, la'achra. It's important, you know, mida'ag be'nafak be. Yeah.
Is Rebbe saying that since lulav is connected to halal, you only make a bracha after you say the halal? Why does that change?
Yeah. I'm saying it might be different than a miras halal. And a miras halal, you know, what?
Is over.
I thought that's what I was saying before. I'm aware of it. That's what I'm trying to say. That's over Lasiyasa, but maybe like a physical manifestation of Hallel, like even the bracha, you know, should reflect that. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not really sure. I just think it's a very fascinating issue. So I think that that is one possibility. And then the question is, to what extent, you know, is that overridden, you know, in the Maskana of the Gemara? When the Gemara says that there's more Al, that Al is more positive, more future than you think, you know, so probably it shouldn't have said Yatza. Probably correct that it says, you know, Latzeis in the Maskana of the Gemara. Right? And then you can get back to, or no, maybe even, I can even see, you know, a radical view that says, you know, a Lulav is different. And again, not just because we don't have the ingenuity and it's like Tevila, but in a fundamental way, and that would certainly put Set Lulav apart. Most of Rishonim do not say that. But, you know, the idea that at least it's partially true, at least in the Hava Mina, and maybe even in the Maskana, because it's not so clear that the Gemara turns its back. And even if the Gemara in the Maskana, you know, is more comfortable saying that the Latzeis rather than the Yatza, you know, there still might be elements of Mid'ag Be'Nafak when it comes to Lulav. And that's interesting. So I think that there's like a double argument in the Rishonim and the Achronim, Poskim, when they come to, like, you know, what is the proper way to take the Dal and mean it, right? I think on the one hand, there is an argument about, you know, how, to what extent, Lamaskana, at least, and that certainly in Hava Mina, but even, you know, more importantly in Maskana, right, is this fully over Lasiyasan? Or can Mid'agbe Nafakbe not be just a challenge, you know, in a test, you know, and then you have to figure out ways to neutralize it. But maybe there is part of the, you know, part of the lechatchila, you know, netilas lulav is mid'ag be'nafak be, frankly. And therefore, you compromise somewhat, even though there is overlasiyasan, you know, when it comes to lulav. So how much is that true? And then I think there's another question, and that is when you examine the solutions to the problem, right? There are two other issues connected with them. Okay, this is 2A and 2B, right? One is, you know, what do you require? And the other is, what do you have in these cases? So, for example, let's take them just, you know, very quickly. Right, let's say, you know, holding it upside down. Right, well, we'll start from the other. Let's say making a bracha before you pick them up, which is the view of the Ritva here. It's the view of the Rambam. We'll see in a moment. The Rambam in Ilchos Brachos, Perkei Aleph, seems to talk about, you know, making... Rambam distinguishes, we'll get back to that, between the Nusach HaBracha, if you make the bracha in advance, all right, or Mid'ag Be'Nafak. It could be that the Rambam himself considers the possibility that Lamaskana, that there's a real Mid'ag Be'Nafak without overlasiyasa, frankly. Again, not as fully maybe as I'm suggesting in the Hava Mina of the Gemara here, but somewhat, as we'll see in a moment. But so this is the question. So the problem of, let's say, making a bracha, you know, while everything is, you know, all four minim are on the table, right? So that you know, kind of, there's no mid'ag be'nafak. Is that a problem, or that's totally good? Why don't we always recommend that? Or is that a problem of over to over? Also maybe the issue. But technically, you know, if you need over lasiyasan, you know, so, you know, you can't, you know, jump the gun too quickly. If it's sitting on the table, maybe that's not considered mitzuref enough to the mitzvah. So let's just go through them very quickly. One is all the minim are sitting on the table. That's the Rambam, the Ritva. Some say that is good, that's no good, right? And I'm wondering, is it over dover, or is it because you want a little bit of minag bay, you know, nafak bay? That's part of the chalos, you know, mitzvah of lulav. What if you have some minim sitting on the table and not others? Like, that's an interesting question. Again, both in terms of over dover and minag bay nafak, as well as the relationship between the minim themselves. Right? Like, you pick up the... you know, what do? You pick up the lulav, but not the others, or whatever. Or you pick up three without four, you pick up one without the other three. That's an interesting, generally an interesting question. Of course, you need all four minim, but what the exact relationship is, it goes to the Rabbeinu Tam and the Bahag. You know, let's say you pick them up separately. Can you pick them up separately? Do they need to be all good? You know, things like that. That's another discussion in the Rishonim and in the Poskim. What about picking it up, you know, making the bracha when you pick it up upside down and then turning it, but you already made the bracha? You know, that's ma'akev. Is it just ma'akev chalos, or is it ma'akev? There are two questions, again, just like, you know, the other one. You haven't even done the ma'isa mitzvah. Like, if you've done one but not the other three, or done three but not one, right? Are you in the middle of the ma'isa mitzvah? You have done zero of the ma'isa mitzvah? Similarly, you did. You picked it up, and you're not yotze because it's not derech gedei lasso, right? So that's just an ikuv in the kiyama mitzvah, or in the maisa mitzvah, or what exactly? Like, where are you? So there are two questions. One is, you know, what from an over lasiyason, and in lulav, if it is more complicated. Again, you could take the view that in lulav it's not complicated. We want to make it as over lasiyason as we can. Midag benafak bay is only a problem. But if Midag Bey Nafak Bey isn't just a problem, it's also a kiyum of some sort, you know, then, you know, you don't want to solve the problem too much, because then you've created another power. You've lost, you know, a dimension. So that is part of the issue. And then the other part of the issue is to assess, like, what are these ikuvim, you know, whether it's sitting on the table, or it's the dividing up the minim, or holding it upside down. Similarly, what about kavana? Low latzeis, right? That's a tricky one, as we already discussed. You know, the relationship, you know, between mitzvahs trichos kavana, mitzvahs ein trichos kavana, and kavana lo latzeis. So the Rishonim are pretty, some of them are comfortable saying, you know, that kavana lo latzeis is ma'akev even if you don't need kavana. But others are not. Others think if you don't need kavana, then kavana lo latzeis is nothing. You know, either. This is a big issue in terms of baltosif, right? Let's say if you hold mitzvah strichos kavana, so maybe there's no baltosif, you know, unless you have kavana, right? But let's say you have kavana lo latzeis, right? Does that solve the problem of baltosif? Reb Chaim thought that you could distinguish qualitatively between those two things. That's an important idea, and of course, in which direction would you be mechalik? So the question of kavana lo latzeis, you know, if you had mitzvah shrichas kavana and you needed kavana, you know, that would be one kind of chisaron. Would that, you know, be ma'akev on the maisa or just on the kiyum legabe over lasiyasan? And similarly, if you hold mitzvah ein shrichas kavana, right, but you have kavana lo latzeis, you know, what do you have then? Even assuming that it works, in other words. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Then it's nothing. It's meaningless. But if it is ma'akev, what is it ma'akev? And what is it ma'akev relative to the absence of kavana? Then you have the idea of the nanuim, the shas abracha. Right? If there's a din that, you know, netilas lulav, that you should be menanea b'shas abracha, which some Rishonim believe in, right? Is that still over lasiyasan? Now to solve the problem, forget about it, right? That's an issue. So again, the Ravya, also quoted by the Agos Maimonios, they talk about the over lasiyasan issue of nanuim in the bracha. The Balitosas typically talk about, you know, the nanuim bizman hahalel. Right, those are two different nanuim. You could be mechalik in either direction, right? The nanuim b'shas bracha may be part of the, or kiyum in the bracha and the maisa, mitzvah itself. Or no, maybe the Nanuim, once Midagbe is nothing. Maybe the Nanuim of Halal are less, but maybe they're also more, because at least they have an independent status vis-a-vis, you know, the Halal. And of course, the very idea that the Nanuim of Halal, that you should take the little Bishasa Halal, that the Nanuim of Halal are matter, and again, you could have thought, and certainly sounds like that in one view in Bali Tosis and Sukkah, that the Nanuim of Halal are a din in Halal, not a din in the Lulav. In which case, they wouldn't be over Lasiyasa, they wouldn't help you at all for this question. You know, but if, you know, there is a kind of merging or convergence of the Dalet Minim and Halal, you know, and that is also expressed, you know, not just from a Halal style, like, you know, there's an enhanced Halal, you have the Lulav, you know, with you, but it's also din in the Lulav, then, you know, it could be over Lasiyasa. That's, Tosis is certainly happy with that, you know, in the Da'agbe Nafak, giving you still some over Lasiyasa, right? And they sound like they might be happy with it, even in Divramatz Chalotzeis, right? And if you look at Tosa again, the Tosa in different places, and the other Rishonim, you know, it's clear that there's a major argument about this question, you know, whether the Nanuim are Ma'akev, whether the Nanuim... Now, the Balamor here, for example, says, I don't want to hear about, you know, Lahafech, you know, and all these, you know, machinations. He said, as far as I'm concerned, Shari Mitzvah, you know, it's the Nanuim in the in Halal. You don't need anything more than that. It's not Ma'akev, but it's like, you know, I think what the Balamor is trying to say is not that the Nanuim of Halal are significant, and the reason he's eschewing any of the more, let's say, obvious upfront, we'll call them, solutions, is because he mostly thinks that Midagbe Nafakbe, you don't need them. Or maybe they're even detrimental. Hard to say detrimental, but you definitely don't need them. What you need is that it shouldn't be completely, I'm guessing for the Balamor, I think it's a good guess, what you need is that it shouldn't be not mitzuref to the mitzvah. It shouldn't be the gamri la'achar. It should be, and for that, the nanuim, as shiare mitzvah, even if they're not, you know, even if they're only shiare, you know, not part of the ikar, not a kiyum, certainly not part of the maisa mitzvah, but there's still mitzvah if you, you know, to the mitzvah. And that's all you really need. That's how I read the Balamor. Whereas the Bali Tosis, I don't think that that's mostly what they're saying. I think they're saying, it's a kiyum if it isn't the maisa. And, you know, is that a solution to overlasiyasan? No, maybe it'll require much more. Maybe it'll require prior to the maisa, as long as it isn't too early, or you're still giving positive due if you need it to mid'agbe, nothing may. So there's a whole discussion about whether Ninuim are Ma'akev, they're Durabbanon, they're Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, etc. An intriguing additional possibility that the Tosa Rosh mentions here, and Tosis mentions in Sukkah, is on the basis of Anshei Yerushalayim, you know, who had the minhag to walk around with the Dalet Minim all day. So again, that just sounds like Chivuv HaMitzvah. Doesn't sound like much more than that. You know, that's going to work for over Lasiyasa. Right? So again, from a Tziruf point of view, maybe. Or are we saying more about Anshei Yerushalayim? Hard to know whether the arguments here center around the solutions and their status, right? The criteria and the different levels of what you need, right? Or, you know, Midag Benafak Bay itself. Okay. So either way, just to be aware that you have this very interesting, you know, broad, you know, perspective going from, you know, you can really make the bracha afterwards, to you can make the bracha afterwards as long as it's, you know, somewhat mitzuref, to saying that, you know, at least some aspect needs over, fully it needs over, like mid'agbe nafakbe is a problem, mid'agbe nafakbe is part of the character of this particular din, and there's a whole, again, it sounds like we're taking a lot of time to discuss this, but it's a massive topic, so we're trying to actually just give a quick, you know, in and out taste of it. The Rambam, of course, has this very intriguing, I'm not going to solve the problem, but the Rambam has in Perek Yud Aleph, Hilchos Brachos, the Rambam is mechalek between, and again, it's a little bit l'shitaso. Do you say litol or do you say al netilas? It is l'shitaso in his flexibility that we saw in regarding the mila and certain other things. Right? Sometimes the Rambam, you know, who does it can change the nusach habracha. Here the Rambam says, when you do it, changes the nusach habracha, and that there's, you know, alternatives. You can, you know, do a hard over lasiyasan, you know, or you could do a soft, you know, over lasiyasan, or maybe no over lasiyasan, frankly, in the Rambam. So the Rambam says in Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Tesvav, Natalas alulav mevarech al netilas lulav. Shekiv and Sheik biyo yatzei dechavaso. There's no hint in this Rambam at all, or in Nechas lulav, that there's any over lasiyasan solution. Right? Avalam birech. Right, so it sounds like that's typically what happens. In Hilchos Lulav, Perek, what is it? Perek Zion, Halacha Vav. Do I have that? You know, the Rambam just, that's all he quotes, is Al Netilas Lulav. Second. Although, there sounds a little different. Mitzvah Namuvchar Lego, Lulav Hadas, Harav Lassos, and Gimel, Shlashtan Agudachas, Ukishu Notlam, Latseis Bahen, Mivarech Tchila Al Netilas Lulav, Ova Kulan Smuchim Lo. We're talking about the problem of the Nusach of Lulav as opposed to the others. Achach Notal Agudazos, Bimino, the Esrog Bismolo, Venlotan Derech Yedei Lassan. It sounds like the Rambam, that you make the bracha, al netilas lulav, it's a little bit of a stira, and then you pick it up. Right? That's what it sounds like in the Rambam in Nukos Brachos, but that's in the next case, sorry, in the next case, where he says that you change the sukkah bracha. Notal salud varach al netilas lulav, shekivin shekbiu yatsi dechov asel, avalim birech kodem shiitol, mevarech litalas alulav kamo leisha basukah amikana talamid shemvarech acher shasa, right below bracha mevarech alo asiya also kiddush. So there's the Rambam here has seems to be, you know, projecting a klal, and that is that just like, you know, who changes the nusach, when changes the nusach as well, and if this isn't limited to lulav, it also will apply to things like, you know, tefillin and tzitzis, etc. You should change the nusach habracha. Wow. The Raiva disagrees on this last point. Omer Avram, hine ledvarav, im shachach batifas tzitzis o banachas tefillin, v'lo birech tchila, kishi yizkar bivarech, mevarech ala tifas tzitzis, the ala nachas tefillin, ve'enochen. Shremitzas kolayom lefanav. Aval benetilas lulav, kivin shehigbio, niftar mimenu kolayom. So it's interesting. The Raiva makes a very subtle distinction here. The question is, what is the Rambam really, what's the case that the Rambam has in mind? Does he disagree, you know, with the case of the Raiva? The Raiva says, listen, if you make a bracha after, you know, putting on your tefillin and your tzitzis, right? So you shouldn't change the nusach bracha for that, because what you really find yourself is you didn't make a bracha and you did a maisa, but the maisa is still, you know, in front of you. You're going to continue to do the maisa, so therefore you should make the bracha because it's a full over lasiyasa. It's not midag be nafak be. That's what the Raivid is saying. By the way, that isn't so pasha, as we've discussed, right? Because, you know, we talk about levishas kilayim or tzitzis, whatever it is. When you do the kumvaseh of atifa or anacha, right, and then you continue to keep it on, you know, are you wearing it? Is it to continue? continuation of the Kumvase Maisa? Is it a continuation of the Sheval Tasa of that Maisa? Right? Or is it just a Kiyum? Or is it that you did a Maisa, now you're Otuf or Mu'utaf or Mu'utar, you know, etc.? Right? So the Raibit is assuming that it's, you know, that you continue, or at least in this Raibit, he's assuming that the Maisa is in front of you. He's saying, you can't compare that. Even if what the Rambam, he's saying, even if what the Rambam says about Lulav is correct, that's because in Lulav, you know, when you're holding on, you picked up the Lulav, Mida'agbe, that's Nafakbe. So now what? You're still holding the Lulav. Right? That's a different. Why does he think that, you know, putting on the tzitzis and the tefillin as opposed to, you know, wearing them is different than picking it up, right, and holding it, right? So it's an interesting raivet. The Rambam may say that the raivet is right, and I'm talking about other things where, or he may say that he's wrong, and that in Akhanami you would say, you know, a lashon of al, and that it is comparable. But I think that's the interesting issue. In Hilchos Lulav, there the Rambam just only mentions Netilas Lulav, right? Even though it seems like he's talking about a situation where you don't pick up anything. So the Kesa Mishnah makes this Ahara. The Nosa can't speak about it, but the parent Stira. He says, V'lo bo ela lomar shivarech ala lulav, v'lo al shara minin. Right? U'be'inyan nusach ha-bracha, So, yeah. Benjamin, do you want to say something? Oh, glad you had your hand up. So it's a very interesting, the Kesa Mishnah is saying, just plug in the, you know, plug in the rules. But again, it's a very... have to be very dexterous, you know, to manage all this. So, the, yeah. So, anyways, the point is that the Rambam and the Raivid, you know, and the discussion about, you know, being in the middle, Midagbe Nafakbe, and, the, you know, what's comparable in Tefillin and Tzitzis, you know, and other things is a very interesting issue. You know, when would you actually implement the Rambam? The Rambam, I say, is somewhat lishitaso on the flexibility of the bracha. Is that just for technical reasons, or is it because he thinks that the brachos are accentuating, like, different, you know, dimensions? Sometimes the bracha is about the chiyuv, sometimes the bracha is about the kiyum, sometimes the bracha is about the maisa, sometimes the bracha, you know, is about, you know, the tziruf, etc. But there is a lot lishitaso here, and a lot also that needs, you know, further exploration. Hard to do because it doesn't tell us so much, but something to think about either way. Okay, and then of course, just to finish up, sorry this is taking so long. Yeah, Josh.
Is the Rambam in Halacha Hey, the Perkei Avos of Brachos, not addressing that question of the Raivit when he talks about if you miss the bracha?
Yeah, I mean he is, but.
He's giving
an
answer.
That's where he talks about tefillin and tzitzis. That's the one you're talking about?
Is that not just the Rambam's
Shita?
What do you say it's
derived? Let's see. One second. Osa mitzvah b'yorach e mitzvah shaday nasi asa kayemes. The question is, what are the words asi asa kayem b'yorach? Achar asiya. V'im davar... Sha'avar in a mivar. From the son of it says, "This a love b'shut filan or yashav b'sukkah." Lo birech tchila kozim varich achar shenisatev lihisatev. He's here. He uses lehaniach. So that it's the same and leishev. So the question is, all this is. I'm not sure what you're trying to say, but all that what I meant was all this is revised by Halacha Tezvav. I mean, here he's telling you make a bracha. Here he's telling you you make a bracha, and then Halacha Tezvav he's going to tell you what bracha you make. Oh, like the Kesef Mishnah in Ilchas Lulav.
No,
or the Rambam's Mechalek, and he's saying, of course, if it's tzitzis and tefillin and Shiva Basukah, the Ravid is right. But if it's something like Lulav, where, you know, it's not, you know, Lifanecha, the Maisa, it's a, you're in the middle, you're fundamentally in the middle.
Right.
Could be.
I just don't understand how the Ravid didn't see that.
No, I'm just saying, because, I would say.
Exactly.
I mean, you're saying, how can the Ravid not realize that the Rambam's not talking about those cases?
Yeah.
Listen, the answer is, I was boasting about my dexterity. So, I think the answer is, you know, look at Hilchos Lulav itself.
Right.
You know, because basically the Kesef Mishnah is saying, you know, you fill it in based on Halacha Tezvav. Now, of course, it's easier to say that, you know, if Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Tezvav Hilchos Brachos is earlier, which it is, than you know, Perek Zayin Halacha Vav of Hilchos Lulav, right? Here, Halacha Hey, Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Hey is earlier than Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Tezvav. Right? But I think that the Ravid will, you know, may have said. I don't know if he would have quoted the Kesef Mishnah, that would have been historically difficult. But just like the Kesef Mishnah is comfortable, or maybe the Ravid noticed, you know, that the Rambam, you know, isn't getting into detail either in Hilchos Lulav. You may have noticed the same way the thing that the Kesef Mishnah did. So that's the question. I'm not sure. That's what I'm stopping about. Yeah.
Is it possible to suggest that maybe Rebbe is implicitly suggesting this, that because of Midah Avina Hafe is like such a strong concept, even Maskana, so Rambam Hilchos Lulav will just say Alam Tilas Lulav because fundamentally you should be making the bracha.
Right. The only thing is that there does sound. I hear that. I mean, that's the default. I think that is true, and that is what I'm kind of saying. I mean, to me, it sounds like, and this is like part of the issue, and that's why I'm emphasizing the Shaklev Tari, the Gemara, you know, and a little bit the Balamor, and I think for sure the Rambam, and that is that mid the Agbe Naf, like for some Rishonim, it's clear that mid the Agbe Nafakle is a problem, and it's a problem to overcome. Again, and that's why it's a little curious. I say that the Gemara couldn't come up with these same solutions unless there's like no solution. But it's still a problem to overcome. You know what I mean? But that's a way to look at it. And what I'm suggesting is that the Rambam and maybe the Balamor and maybe others didn't read it that way 100%. It's not just a problem, or maybe not primarily a problem to overcome. It's something about the nature of the mitzvah. Now that would also explain why there's a certain comfort level with all the Tilas Lulav, because as the kind of default, not just because of the practical problem, but because it like captures that. But then you would wonder two things. Number one, like why ever do anything else, right? Why have the alternative? And I think the other problem in Hilchos Lulav is that it does sound, I think it's what bothered the Kesef Mishnah more, it sounds like it's a case where he really did make the bracha before he picked up anything. Right? So, like it says here, what's the language is, ukishu notlam latseis bahen, right? Mvarech tchila al netila slulav ho vekulan smuchen lo, the achakach notel ho aguda hazos bimino the esrog bismolo. Unless he's just not venotlan derech gedei lasan. So, it sounds like the case is that the Minamar sitting on the table, he's making a bracha, and then he's picking them up. Right? Unless he doesn't mean it. Because the Rambam here is also trying to explain what's in the right hand, what's in the left hand, why you're not making a bracha. Al Asher Kedeshanu B'mitzvosa V'tzivanu, you know, Al Tilas Aminim, or Esrog, or each one individually. Why is it enough to, you know, to focus on the bracha about the lulav? So it's hard. I mean, the Rambam's trying to do a lot in Halacha Vav. So maybe he's just ignoring, you know, the fact that he makes it sound a little bit like the bracha was said before he picked it up. He didn't mean that. I mean, you're holding it, but, you know. But if you take it kipshuta, which is what bothered the Kesef Mishnah, then it does sound like the case is one in which he should have said litola salulov according to the standards in Chutz Brachos. But I still think, in the end of the day, I think it's a little curious, actually. So maybe the solution is, you know, that, you know, both ways are okay, because they, each way, like, emphasize, I don't know, I'm not sure. Each way emphasizes, you know, a constructive aspect. In other words, what troubles me is, like, if Medag Benofek is a, you know, part of its character, and a lechatchila, you know, so then why, you know, would you ever propose and change the Nusach HaBracha, you know, when you follow, you know, that alternative? And if, you know, it's better to do over Lasiyas in that way, that's preferable, so why not just tell that's the best way to do Netzilas Lulav? Again, here the Ram, you know, in Hilchos Lulav, which is where the main thing should be discussed, you have to be very careful reading, get to, just even to get an impression. You know, the contrast to the Bali Tosis world, where they're obsessed with this, and the Chachmei Svara, you know, Chachmei Provence and Chachmei Svara, where they're obsessed with this whole thing. You know, like, how are you going to get your overlasiyas on Bidag Benafak Bay? You know, they have the five different solutions ranging. You know, each one is fascinating in its own right, for the reasons, three reasons that we discussed. And the Rambam, it's basically, you know, in Hilchos Brachos, it gets played out a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So it's funny to me that Bimonashach, if Midag Benafek is a Bidiyabit, so tell everybody to do it this way. And if Midag Benafek Bey is a Lechatrila, because it somehow captures something in the midst of Dalet Minim, you know, then why go for the other way? Even though I do think you're right that the default clearly is Midag Benafek, and it's all the Tilas. Even to the extent that when he has the opposite case, he's still talking about, you know, like the formula is all the Tilas. I just find it strange. So maybe, oh, because here we're Machim, remember, this is also the Rambam, of all people, right? In other words, if the Orzarua was, you know, telling you, you know, there are exceptions, like the Orzarua is thrilled about Tefillah, you know, then, you know, he can live very well with exceptions, and everything can be an exception, b'di'evet, you know, but for the Rambam, in Hilchos Brachos, and in Hilchos Ishus, you know, who is strong about Overlasiyasan, it's just curious the way that he treats the Lula problem. So on the one hand, I would say, maybe that's the petach for, you know, Litala Salulav, you know? You know, from a meta-halachic, from like a broader perspective of Birkas HaMitzvah, he's just much more comfortable with this. You know, whereas, you know, from the perspective of the nature of the mitzvah of Dalet Minim, you know, Midag Benafak is the rule, and maybe it's a principle in some way. Okay. I'm not sure. I'm speculating a little bit. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then finally, just to mention that when it comes to Bir Chametz, there are different answers in Rishonim. Again, we started off with Bir Chametz. That's what this Gemara was all about, Bedika and Bir Chametz. So it's just an interesting, as we, you know, when the Ran asked the question against the Rambam, like, you know, how could you tailor to different, you know, people, like, you know, if the Mutal Olav is the Mevarech or not, you know, what's the difference between that and Bedikas Chametz? So, as I mentioned, I think, you know, the Rambam obviously thinks it's different. You know, and again, Rambam also has a different explanation why, you know, we say Al, you know, in Perikid Aleph, as Natan correctly pointed out, as a kind of Mida'ag Be'nofek Be', you know, with the Bittul side, which, by the way, by comparing them, also is a little bit relevant, you know, to what we've just been discussing. Again, because that isn't necessarily only a practical problem, that does say something about, you know, Rotsa B'Kiyumo and Bedika and Bittul and the whole bit for the Rambam. You know, it's very, you know, actually consistent with the Rambam says in Perakit Aleph. But, you know, in the end of the day, the Gemara itself, you know, the Ram says about says the Ram, I'm like, why are you being machalic? You know, and we understood it with that, and even without that, you know, that there might be sometimes, you know, a personal nofech is an added kiyum, and sometimes, you know, it's more just reason magdimin or, you know, bo yosef and b'shlucho, but it's not really a kiyum in the actual performance of the mitzvah itself. But what's curious is that this is a din. This chiluk, when it comes to bir chametz, b'tikas chametz, is actually implicit in the Gemara. So it's not 100% fair that the that the Ran is asking that question, because the Gemara is talking about bir chametz here, and the Gemara is saying, "Oh, there's a mandomar al bir chametz," and then the Gemara says about lamul, you know, that al mila and lamul would depend on who the Moel is, right? But at that point, the Gemara didn't say v'hu adin lebediko lebior, right? So, you know, the Tosa Rosh addresses that, as does some of the Chachmei, you know, Provence, Marab Chalava, the Meiri, and others. Like, they're troubled by that. It's really the same question the Ran asks against the Ram of Halacha, right? But this is in the Shakl of Tari, the Gemara. Okay. So this is very interesting. Iser Shkaga Bal Yiroah. So this is a big discussion. There are different formulations in the Rishona, the Meiri, and again Rambam Chalava, and others. But then this became a field day, kind of, in the Poskim as well. Namely, what is, you know, a third party's obligation, you know, vis-a-vis your Biur Chametz. So it gets played out a lot in Shulchan Aruch about mafkid and nifkad, right? If you have somebody else's chametz in your rishus, and he's going to violate by Rabbi Matze, do you have the legal right? Do you have the legal obligation, you know, to save him, to do biur bedika or biur, you know, chametz, you know, for him? So are these dinim of, you know, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh Lifnei Iver Lositein, you know, Michshal, you know, alone? Or is there something more to it, like when it comes to chametz? This, of course, is a question that, you know, touches on issues that we've been discussing all year. Right? To what extent? So some of the Achronim, for example, try to connect this question. I think we mentioned it at the time as well, when they talk about, you know, Yisrael v. Yisrael, you know, Shalcha Yatara Tara Shalachem Shalgavoa, but what about Yisrael Chaveiro? Right? Do you violate his Bal Yiroah? Okay. Here we're asking, you know, kind of a slightly different question, and that is, are you considered to be Mechuyev to do his Bedika to save him from Bal Yiroah? So some people try to connect this question to, like, if you hold, like those Rishonim, Yisrael b'Yisrael, especially Yisrael Yisrael b'Rishuso, right, because that's also a debate. Like the Gra and others, you know, if it's b'Rishus, if it's in my Rishus, and it belongs to a fellow Yisrael, as opposed to an Akum, then I'm obligated. And what if it, you know, belongs to a fellow Yisrael, you know, and it's not in my Rishus? Do I have any obligation there, aside from Lifnei Iver? Is there any element of Rotza B'Kiyum, or just by virtue of the fact that you could get rid of Chametz before Pesach, which is subject to Bal Yiroah, no one else could? Is there like a Rotza B'Kiyum there too? Interesting. Interesting question. Like the Gruz, what he said, and what some of the Shonos said, was very specific. Right? But how far does that go? So that is an interesting issue here in the Rishonim as well. Okay, there's more things, but you know, like all good things, you know, you have to, you know, say goodbye sometime. So we'll leave it at that for now. Okay, let's start at least. I know it's late, but let's at least start the Shaklan Bataria, so we can do some of it at least. We can do some things on Thursday. Anybody want to? Benjamin, do you want to volunteer? Really?
I'm happy to volunteer in addition.
No, if I give the option. So
can I volunteer, friend?
What's that?
No,
sure. Yeah, no, for sure.
So we'll have Josh.
Nice.
This John, right?
You get to volunteer, friend, too. Sim Kaleb?
No, Benjamin was asking about Josh.
Oh, you were volunteering Josh Kaufman? Or? No, the way he was looking. Okay. Anybody want to volunteer? Volunteer? Okay, go ahead, Josh. Go ahead. Okay, let's just at least start. Yeah, the Mishnah. Just point out a few things along the way so we can begin. Yeah, Ein Choshen. Go ahead. Yeah. So what is that?
Yeah, so I think Rashi says that we're not really afraid that we don't have this chashash, at least that holds us in existence. Then,
right. Ein choshen shem. What happened?
That you were doing your yichus chametz, and once you cleaned one corner, maybe you have a chashash that a weasel came along and took chametz from a different corner and brought it to the one you just cleaned, and you're going to go.
Right. That's how you get like obsessive compulsive disorder. Interesting. That's how you understand Ein L'Dover Sof. Onus Rachmana Patre? So it's an interesting, I like that you said that because, oh, you think it sounds like a kula. I think there are three ways to read the Mishnah. Okay? One way is what you just said. Now, there's a problem in the Mishnah. Right, because if you say Ein Choshen Shema Gira Chuldim Ibayis Mayis Makom LaMakom, and you stop right there, what impression would you get?
That it's not a real chashash.
That's not a real chashash, right? That, you know, just objectively, it doesn't make sense, you know, to be worried about that. That's an excessive worry, we'll call it, right? An unreasonable concern. The problem is that when you say the imkain michatzah the chatzah meir liir aim ledavar sof, right? It sounds like we're saying exactly the opposite. Namely, there's good reason to worry here. It's a legitimate concern. It's not excessive. The problem is that practically, right? There's no end to it. Like there's no place. There's no way to limit it. Yeah.
Still can be read that way, right?
Sure.
Yeah,
so that's what, right. So I would say that's what I mean when I say 100%. So that's what I mean when I say there are three ways to look at it. One is to emphasize the resha and to say, this is not really a chashash. And as for the rest of it, it's like, you know, it's like absurd. It's like, you know, on the absurd scale, what we're saying is, you know, there's no objective chashash here. And, you know, to be machmir, you know, is to basically, you know, to acknowledge no limits, you know, basically. And you'll be doing B'dikas Chametz forever. Okay. The second possibility is to read the Mishnah in exactly the opposite way. And that is, you know, read the Seifa first. I don't mean literally mean the Seifa first, but meaning really, really, there's a chashash. But the consequence of Ein L'Dover Sof is a kula. So, you know, there's a middle way to read it, and that's, I think, a little bit like what you were saying as well, and that is, there's a reasonable threshold, you know, when it comes to Sveikos, and Ein L'Dover Sof is not a way of saying onus, right? That's the expression they used, Josh, a second ago. Like, the expression of a moment ago was like, you know, really there's grounds for a chashash, you know, but, you know, what can you do? You know, it's anus rachamana patri, right? What we could be saying is something else, and that is, whenever you approach Eila Dover Sof, right, by definition, Alpidin, maybe not practically, but Alpidin, right, that's where the Torah draws its line in terms of an appropriate, you know, suffix. So the appropriateness of the propriety of the suffix, whatever you want to call it, you know, that threshold is determined by excess. This is the point of excess, and therefore, you know, that's where it ends. Okay, so, right. The question is, these three readings, you know, are, I think, well, all three legitimate, and they're all three legitimate in general, right? You know, how much, you know, of a long shot do you have to, you know, be concerned about, you know, in the world of Sveikos. So the question of Eila Dover Sof and the question of, you know, Choshin or Ein Choshin, this is an open, you know, question. Or is this something that is particularly singular, right, Lekula or Lekumra, to Chametz? And within Chametz, to Bedikas Chametz, or to, you know, the Iser Chametz, right? Because as we have discussed, there are good reasons to think that, you know, Chametz, you know, is different. You know, if we're talking about Bedikas Chametz, you know, there are still two opposite reasons, you know, to think of it as different. You know, one is that it's Bedikas Chametz, and it's a Drabanan. And not only that, maybe it's a particularly kal drabanan, especially if you hold it's a siag, you know, a type of a chashash. On the other hand, you know, it's from this sugya that we get the famous formulation of the Ravid, right? Namely, the bdikas chametz is nitkana. Lo nitkana b'nikas chametz el ala safek, and that might be a reason dafka to be machmir. Chametz in general, you know, might be a reason to be mekel. Right, it's an iser zman, you know, all the things that we discussed in the beginning of the year, and it might be a reason to be machmir. It's an iser zman, right, and it's a chayv kares, and there's a din of shmira ushmartem, you know, which, you know, may apply, you know, to issues of chametz and to issues of bedikas chametz, like the Yerushalmi says. So, in addition to the general question, you know, of being machmir and being mekil in doraisas and in drabanans, you know, of course, you know, being choshesh l'davar rachok is, it sounds like, you know, frumkeit. On the other hand, im l'davar sof means that, you know, you have to balance your Yerushamayim. Not balance your Yerushamayim, but the implementation of your Yerushamayim needs to be balanced by things that are reasonable and constructive and are not, you know, obsessive compulsive or unattainable. Right? You know, Ein Gozrim Gzeira La Tzibur Elim Kenet Tzibur Yicholim. You know, Lamod Bo is not only a concession to weakness. You know, it's sometimes a testament to reasonableness, right? You want, especially in Drabanans, but even in Daraisas, like when we talk about, you know, Rove and the, you know, debate, you know, about Efshelavar and Tzarechlavar, which we spoke, you know, so much about on Dav Dalid, right? And earlier, you know, for those who were here last year, you know, in Chulin. So again, that's part of that, you know, discussion, right? I mean, the Ritva's comment in Chulin, which is, you know, Torah says it's mutter, you know. Of course, that's not the dominant, you know, view. We don't mostly paskin like the Ra'ah and the Ritva and the Balamor, that Efshel Varer, you know, Ein Tzara Klavarer, you know, mostly we paskin like the Ramban and the Rajban and so on, the Efshel Lavarer and Tzara Klavarer. But even then, as we know, I'm just using this as an example, but it's a very good example, even then, you know, the Ramban, Udi Imei, are mechalik between a Miyud HaMatsui and a Miyud, you know, Sheino Matsui. So partly because of being magdir, like, is it really a safek? Or latest, does it have the threshold? Does it qualify? But also, or maybe those are overlapping, because of the principle of azlinu basarov. Meaning, the Torah wants us to be able to be productive in the world, not to be paralyzed in a state of safek, and certainly, therefore, not, you know, to be choshesh for things which, you know, never will find resolution. Which is what I meant when I said that Ein L'Davar Sof doesn't have to be a kula, right? It could end up being, you know, the legitimate, reasonable, outside limit of what constitutes, you know, a legitimate safek. So there is this question in general, you know, about being machmir or mekil when it comes to sfeikos, when you have mechanisms. And, of course, you have to, you know, apply this, you know, to drabanans as opposed to doraisas. And then within doraisas and within drabanans, obviously, there's room to be mechalek as well. And that's what we talked about a lot last year, also when we talked about, you know, safek, you know, demai. But we've talked about, of course, this year when it comes to safek chametz as well, which is also perhaps an opening to discuss, like, the first tosis. What's the first tosis? You don't mind? I mean, it's first tosis here on Tessamin Aleph. So, what's the question again?
How come the opening mission in the
first mission, the Masechta says that Makom Shei Machnisim Basa Chametz. So we've already explained that there are limits to Safek, either in general or Safek Chametz, because Makom Shei Machnisim doesn't require Bedika at all. So Tosas gives an interesting answer here. This is the standard answer, actually, but it's still interesting. And that is, it's a mokom shein, you know, bardlas or ach, whatever it is, yicholim lahalech sham. Mokom shein ein machnisin is not a place. And therefore there's not, that's on a different madrega. Who disagrees with Tosas in the facts, you know, and also in the answer? Anybody? How does Rambam understand this Mishnah? Where is it? Perek Beis, Halacha Zion? Is that it? You have it?
Yes.
Simcha Leib, go ahead. You have it? Open?
Yeah.
Oh, it's up there? Go ahead.
In Hoshin Shema Gera Fulda, Chametz, the Makam, which Shem Machnis and Mochametz, Shem Nachosh, the Bias Levias, Nachosh, Mehir Leir, Vein Ledover Sub.
Oh. So he includes Makam in Machnis and Boaz HaKametz. Correct? Yeah. Say again? Could be. But the fact that I hear that. That's a good ha'ara. But the fact that he includes it at all makes it seem like they're, you know, he's throwing them. You know, he's just saying, no, maybe what the Rama means was, l'maskana, this Mishnah is saying, the Seifa is saying, you know, v'hu adin, this, you know, a bedika is the equivalent of a makom shein maknisin. Does it sound that way in the realm? I'm not sure. I hear that. No, in the end of the day, of course, you don't need bedika. You don't need, if kol shekein, if you don't need a bedika, you know, in a makom shein maknisin, you know, then you certainly don't need a bedika in a makom shein maknisin. I think we all agree on that. But by the Rambam saying it the way that he does and implying Shema, Again, what's the language one more time? Yeah,
it's
in a
mind.
Yeah.
Meaning the Tosa seems to be implying that that's two different issues. The one of them is an issue of Imachis al Chametz, and one of them is a makom that you already checked. And the Rambam seems to be implying that they could be the same thing.
Rambam's equating them.
Right.
Yeah. So by equating them, again, so Simcha Leib saying that he's equating them because he's already concluded that the second one is just as pristine, you know, as the first one. I'm suggesting that he's equating them because he thinks that if there was a problem with the second one, there'd also be a problem with the first one. Right? Let's see the language again. Ein chom shishin, sheim nachush. Right, so isn't he implying that if not for Ein Ladavar Sof, that you would also, if not for the thinking of Ein Ladavar Sof, you would also be choshesh for makom shemachdim? You know, he is, right? Okay. So, I mean, your horror still remains. It's still very good. But there's still a chiddush in the Rambam, put it that way. Put it this way. The Rambam cannot say what Tosas says. Like, Tosas distinguishes between them in a factual way, saying a makom she'ein machnisin is a makom she'ein chuldo bardel siyacholim leilech sham, meaning it's a physical. I'm not sure, by the way, that there is such a thing. Certainly not what's described as makom she'ein machnisin in the, again, certainly if you're like an urban dweller, it's hard to believe that, right? So, yeah. So, right. So if that's really, if you would hold Tosas's answer, right, then the words, imkein ein ladavar sof, you know, would not apply to makom she'machnisin bo'atzeh chametz, correct? Okay. Now, there is another answer in the Rishonim, the Tosa Rosh, Shemarim Chalava, Me'iri, which is not that it's impossible, because that's very limiting to makom she'ein machnisin bo'atzeh chametz. Not that it's impossible, but that there's still a difference, meaning, you know, and again, I don't think you have to conclude, you know, that Cholda is partially a Nevi'ah here, you know, the Gemara's upcoming pun, but what the Rishonim do say, some of them, is that, you know, the Bardalas and the Cholda, they hang out in a Mokom Shemachnisim Bo'asachametz, you know, even if it was a Bedika, because that's just part of their, you know, part of their routine, you know. But, you know, there's no, you know, benefit in hanging out in Makom She'ein Machnisin Bo'atzeh Chametz. You know, they already have like a Masorah that there's just no Chametz there. Right? They respect their Masorahs. So they're not there. So you're not worried, you know, about this problem. That's a practical, you know, difference, but one which doesn't presuppose, right, that it's impossible, at least. The words Ein Ladavar Sof just don't work if you hold like Tosas, right, is all I'm trying to say. Whereas for the other Rishonim, you know, as long as a Bardalas and a Chulda could get in there, you know, then there's always a possibility. You could still say Ein Ladavar Sof, although, again, the level of Ein Ladavar Sof is still different. I always thought that you could say, you know, surprise, surprise, something, you know, a little bit different for Tosas, and that is something that we discussed. But again, it depends how you understand, you know, this whole question. If this question is a practical one, right, then I think Tosa's question is a good question. And you have to, you know, say either an Achanami, which is what the Rambam seems to be saying, or give the answer Tosas gives or the answer that the other Rishonim give. Ah. If this is a more formal question, like, you know, what is the threshold, you know, that we are concerned about, and especially if it's about the threshold of Bedikas Chametz rather than Sveikos more generally, then I think there's something else to say here. And that is, what would you say?
That it's possible that once you've already done the Bedika, you wouldn't be master of things afterwards, even if there was some lower level Shash to worry about.
That's true. And what would you say about Makom She'ein Machnisin relative to that?
There's no Chiyuv Bedika there to begin with.
Correct. I mean, that's even more so. Exactly. Meaning that, and this of course goes to a topic that we, you know, have touched on. You know, Suffolk, this is of course, these are the big issues now. Suffolk bedikas chametz, right? Is it Sfeika Drabana Makula? Is it Nitkana La Suffolk? You know, et cetera, et cetera. But one of the things that we, you know, have noted is that there are different types of Sfeikos, right? Suffolk Badak. That's what we talked about, you know, on Abdalid, right? We're not sure. The Maskir and the Soker. And then, you know, we're not, there's a Chazakah that a Badika was done, but we're not sure about it, right? So it's Mokom Shemachnisin Boaz HaSafek, Safek Asa Badika, Safek Lo, Safek Nasa Badika, Safek Lo Nasa Badika. That's one scenario. Our scenario here, I'm going to stop in a minute, is you have Safek, you have Mokom Shemachnisin Boaz HaSafek, Shendivdak, Suffolk, Suffolk that the bedika was undone. Suffolk nichnas bo chametz lifsol as a bedika. We're not right. So you're correctly pointing out. Well, in addition to the practical question of how likely is it that this happened, there's a legal question, and that is, you have already created the shame, baduk. If indeed that's a din in the chefza, it has that status. Because in a way, let me say it this way. In a way, the whole Mishnah, is a little tamua. In addition to the stira, which we've discussed three ways to explain, and I think it's the same issue, it's just like restating it. Like, what happened to the din of Mukzakos in this Mishnah? Or is that exactly what the Mishnah is saying? Namely, there's a din of Mukzakos, Ein Choshen Shemagira Cholda Mibayis Labayis. It's you did a bedika, it's becheskas baduk, right? So that's what ein lo davar sof means. It's another way of saying it's not onus rachmana patre, and it's not even what is the level of chashash, that something like this happened in the last 5 minutes or whatever, right? Maybe it's a statement about mukzakos. But having said that, already is a legal question. We're saying, it's becheskas bad. Is it? Becheskas, you did a bedika. Is it becheskas baduk? Is there a shame baduk? Or are we just worried about bayir abayim matzai? Right? But if you want to go further then, maybe makom she ain machnisim ba'os hachametz, there's not even a chiyuv bedika. Right? That's a completely different, that's a much stronger chazaka, one would think. One would think. I guess you could flip it also if you really wanted to argue, but likely it's stronger. So what you might say, again, you have Safek Badak. Safek Badak, Safek Lo Badak. Of a Mokom Shemachnisin Boaz Hachamet. Mokom Shemachuyev Bebdika, Safek Badak, Safek Lo Badak. That's what we had in Masker Socher and those kind of sugyas. Then there is Safek, Nifsal Bedikaso. Right? Or Hufka Cheskas Bedika. Instead of just saying Safek, now that there's Chametz in this corner. And then there's Safek, Mokom Shemachnisim Boaz HaChametz. Let's say you're not sure. You have a place and you're not sure whether it qualifies as a place which is not Mechuyev Bedika, or it is Mechuyev Bedika. Right? It's very possible that we treat, is everything according to the Ravid, Nitzkan ala Safek. Right? If it was, maybe there wouldn't be any Mokom Shem in Machnis and Boza Chametz. Unless, like Tosas, it was Mokom Shein Chuldo Bardul Sicholim Lahalech Sham. Or maybe not true. When there's the din of Bedikas Chametz Nitzkan ala Safek, is when it's a mokom, which is mechuyev, and there's a chiyuv, and maybe it's connected also to shmartim and all those kind of things. Right? But, does it apply, to a mokom, initially to there being a mokom, shein machnisin, even if it isn't impossible? There's no chiyuv. It has to do with the nature of the chiyuv. And is there a safek lechumra when it's already baduk? Maybe the safek lechumra is always when it's a safek bedika, right? So that it becomes a very important issue, an important question. Okay, let's just read another couple of lines and then we'll go ahead.
So time when the lo chazina de shako, ha chazina de shako chazina, ubai bedika.
Oh, so you know, fine. We're not, you know, crazy, you know, obsessed, right? That there, you know, can't be the undoing of the bedika, you know, just, you know, stam. But what if there's some sort of a latest, you know, some sort of a reyasa, basically, right? Or is it a what constitutes a reyasa, right? So chazina deshakel, which is far less than knowing that the bedika has been, you know, upset, but it's also, you know, not the chashash, you know, out of the air either. What about that? Vamai.
Vamai. Mei machalte. Mei lo tznan. Maduro sa'akom. Tzimeim. Lekam yishu v'mantar v'ya amantar tzara v'dika. Arvim yom. Baf gishu in lo isha. L'chol makom shukhodo v'chazir. Yichulun le'olach. L'halo. Ein tzara v'dika.
Oh. So if kol makom shechulda v'chazir yicholim olak ein tzarek bedika because of the assumption of achila, so why not here too say, oh, there's no rei, or there's a reyasa, but it was solved by the rov of achila, right? Or it's no reyasa, but two ways to say it. Okay, go ahead. Oh. So Rav Zeira is basically distinguishing between basar and lechem, right? But basar lo mishaira, but lechem mishaira. But there is still a comparison, right? There's an answer. There's a question and there's an answer. Whereas Rava, I'm a Rava.
I'm a Rava. I might. Bishma masam, emar have, emar lo have, intim salomar have, emar achalte.
Oh. So Rav is basically saying ain't suffik motzmi devade. What does Rav Zeira think? So here you have the big debate between the Baal HaMoor and the Ravid. Saw it? That part? Not yet? Okay, so we will stop here. The question of how to read this Gemara becomes crucial for the whole sugya. But basically the Baal HaMoor is of the opinion that lechem vadai mishaira, right? And basar safek mishaira, which means that the havamina was, in a way, that safek is, at least here, that safek is motzi mine vadai. Right? And the Ravid argues, says that's not the pshat, even in Rav Zeira, that's not pshat in the Gemara. According to the Ravid, lechem is safek mishaira. Basar is either vadai lo mishaira or rov. So the Gemara's havamina was that rov is motzi mide vadai, or vadai is motzi mide vadai, but not that safek is motzi mide vadai. Right? So okay, we'll stop here, but let's pick up with this Baal HaMoor and the Ravid, and the rest of the Shaka Vatari on Thursday. And see what we can do. Agav, just before we stop, so there's an interesting tosis here, which is relevant to issues we discussed earlier. Right, Vim Tim Salomar have a right, Vim Tim Salomar have Amor Achaltia. Right? Tosa asks the question, why isn't this suffix Tuma Bershus Hayachid Tame? Right? And therefore, even if it's Svek Sveka, which it sounds like it is, right? At least it sounds like in the Mishnah and Taharos, is Lechomra. Correct? What's else to say about that?
Either
the difference between Suffolk Bia and Suffolk Bia is different, Suffolk Ol, whatever we call it.
Or
it's a Rove, not a Suffolk, what he calls Safek HaRogil, the Karov Levadai. And this is also Tosis's view on Testament base. Did you see that part yet? Right, the Maisa b'Shivchasa Shomaitzik Asher Berimon Shatila Nefel Abar Rabba Koin V'Hitzitz Leidam Zachar Im Nekeva Rabba Maisa V'Nechacham Yitiarum They Shachod Abardlus Mitzuyin Sham. Right, V'Hacha Dvade Yitila V'Safek Garua Safek Lo Garua. Right, V'Kasi Safek Motzim Yidei V'Adai. Says the Gemara Lo Teim Shatila Nefel Abar La'Ema Shepila Kemin Nefel Abar. Anyways. Tosis again asks, "Hi bar hechakai, yibushes a rabba filus fake achas tar yibushes a yachid, my mishani shetila kiminefel a bar, it's fek sveka b'makom safik yibushes a yachid." And again he answers, "Yishlomar, right? The greiras chulda bardalas have a safik aragil kid pirash nulel." So what do you make of those? We'll just stop here. But what do you make of either answer of Tosis? Either suffix ba, suffix all is different. That even suffix to b'shus hayachid is not l'chomra, or suffix haragil is makel.
It sounds like suffix bia is it doesn't override the idea of suffix for b'shus hayachid. It's just kind of a different type of suffix.
B'shus hayachid.
B'shus hayachid.
Yeah.
It's a different type of suffix as opposed to when it's ragil, it kind of overrides whatever.
So this goes to the question of Leidos HaSafek that we discussed so many times. It's one thing to say that Safek, Birshus HaYachid is L'chumra, or, frankly, that Safek Birshus HaRabim, is L'kula, right? But the question is, can you say that, if the threshold is such that it's not really a serious Safek? If we don't have a shame, Safek Bishus HaYachid, or a shame, Safek Bishus HaRabim, then maybe we also don't have the Kula or the Chumra. So it depends on two things. Number one, the extent to which really the din of Safek Tumah Bishus HaYachid, Lahachmir, and Safek Tumah Bishus HaRabim Lahakel, are dinim as opposed to really reconstructions. Well, they are dinim either way, because obviously, the fact that we're Mekel or Machmir, depending on the Rishus, is a kind of a din. But how does the din work? It's just like Xeris HaKasuv, it just is a halacha that you have Safek in these conditions, you just treat them differently. In which case, the shame Safek is all that we care about. Even then, if there's no shame Safek, it's hard to get there. Or are we, like, reconstructing in a reasonable, semi-reasonable way what likely took place and happened? And Gufa, could you be mechalek between Safek Tumah B'Shus HaRabim Lahakel and Safek Tumah B'Shus HaYachid Lahachmir when it comes to that question, Gufa? Right? So these are important questions. In those of you who were here last year, about 50% of the people, I think, we had this actually in the beginning of the year last year too. Josh, remember? Yeah, that based on Basin Chulin, Tosis, and that's the famous Ramban that we've made reference to this year quite often, as well, right? Where Safek Tumah B'Shus HaYachid in the Azara, Safek Tumah B'Shus HaRabim, whether we should be Mekel, in the case of, Sakin, Tameh, the likelihood that he was, that he touched it or not. So what's interesting is that if you look at Tosis there, Tosis has a little bit of it there, but the Ramban quotes the Bali Tosis in Yevamos and in Chulin and assumes, again, that this idea of what if you have a strong rove, whether that's an exception to the rule of Safek Tumah B'Shus HaRabim Tar. But the Ramban assumes that what's true for Safek Tumah B'Shus HaYachid Tameh is also true for Safek Tumah B'Shus HaRabim Tahar equally. In other words, that whether or not Safek, a very strong, a rove haragil or a rove, which is very compelling, is different than a regular rove. Like, is it only a 50-50 Safek? you know, again, the whole question of Svek Sveka becomes a problem, but or no. Even, you know, Aruba Mal Yasa or Aruba Haragil or Aruba, which is, you know, Tivi, which is more natural, even those kind of robes, you know, have these dinim. So the Ramban, maybe we'll bring it in for next time, we'll start with this very quickly. The Ramban in Chulin assumes that whatever the Bali Tosa say in one direction is true also about the other direction. And he himself, you know, he points out, like the Tosas here, that, you know, that maybe when it comes to a rove, which is very compelling, we don't apply the dinim of Safek Tum Brishas HaYachid Tameh, but who adin, we wouldn't apply it to Safek Tum Brishas HaRabim Tahar either. That's the Bali Tosas answer, but the Ramban expands it, going from one to the other. Whereas the Ramban himself thinks it's not true. He says, no, that's the whole chiddush of Safek Tum Brishas HaRabim Tahar and Safek Tum Brishas HaYachid Tameh, is that we, you know, we say it even, you know, when it's, you know, stands in opposition to the regular klalei hachra, including compelling roves, which is why the Ramban came up with this idea that the reason we don't apply the principle of suffik tum brishas harabim tahar lahakel, in other words, in the case of kachim, is because of the special din of mishmeres, you know, which requires that you not even reach a point, you know, of suffik. But the truth is that there's also room to be machalik. Tosas here saying suffik ol or ba, whatever you want to call it, and Tosas saying suffik aragil. Tosas talking about suffik tum brishas harab and tusayach and tameh. But the truth is there's also, you know, a basis to be machalik between the two, especially if you think that one of them is a din and the other one's more, you know, the presumed reconstruction, which I think has a basis as well. Okay, so I'll speak a little more about this. More importantly, the Ramban and the Ravid and the Balamor, the Rambam and the Ravid and the Rashi and the Tosas, is this whole sugya, and are we, you know, operating with principles here of Sveika Drabanan and Lekula, because we're dealing with a situation where, you know, Bitul already took place, or no, well, this whole sugya is about cases where there was no Bitul, and it's all Safik Daraisa, etc. So how do we understand the various issues and makloksa? Okay, so we'll try to do what we can to discuss at least, you know, a part of it. Just make sure it's here with Rabbeinu David also. Everybody know which Rabbeinu David I meant? No? No? Oh, okay. Okay. So Rabbeinu David is the one, there are a bunch of them that are interesting, but especially the one here on Daf, it's a very long piece. If you get a chance, if you don't get a chance, I'll tell you what he says. He talks about the Ravid, but he has his own, you know, take on the Ravid. It's on Daf Tesamid Base. Piece on Tesamid Base. And especially Dibramasu Venirulomer Shukahu Diktukain and Al Mamito. That's his Bakom Mitzah Satora Shomrim Safek Echad. I think I made reference to it either this year or last year. But it's the piece on Tess Omid Base in there. Okay, so we'll stop here. We could